Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
It's day three of our literature unit, and we're talking about the very classic novel, Great Expectations, by the wonderful Charles Dickens. Yesterday, or the program before, we talked about his life story, and today, as we always do on day three, we're talking about the themes of the book. What is it that the author wanted to communicate to his readers? Were there themes and ideas that he wanted to write about, that he wanted to say, this is kind of how I feel about things? If you read authors' different novels, you can see that they have opinions about things, and it usually comes through their characters.
Indeed, and their experiences in life and stuff like that. They invent characters and stuff like that. So we're talking about some of the themes of this story, Great Expectations, and why we think you might enjoy reading it and maybe how you can relate to the story yourself. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read through the entire contents of our lesson right now.
The main theme of Great Expectations is that in life, developing one's character and morals is more important than accumulating wealth or improving one's status. The novel puts the Victorian class system under a microscope. During the course of the book, Pip interacts with people from all different classes, including criminals, peasants, members of the middle class, and the ultra-rich. At the start of the novel, Pip is a young man who has little in life, but is filled with ambition. He wants to become educated and learn the manners of gentlemen so he can join their ranks. In other words, he has great expectations for his future. When Pip finally acquires money and becomes a gentleman, however, he doesn't feel satisfied at all. He learns that many members of the upper class live sad and unfulfilled lives. He eventually comes to realize that the true value of a person's worth is based on how they treat others, rather than how much money they have in the bank. Great Expectations also deals with ideas about crime, guilt, and innocence. The story opens with Pip meeting the criminal Magwitch in a cemetery. At first, Pip wants nothing to do with him because he's been labeled a menace to society. Even after he discovers that Magwitch is his benefactor, he's reluctant to assist Magwitch because he fears the police. As he comes to know Magwitch better, though, he changes his mind and decides to help him escape. This symbolizes that Pip is now able to form his own opinions about people, instead of relying on what the government and society tells him.
Okay, everybody, it's time for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson, so here we go. We're talking about Charles Dickens's rise from rags to riches. So let's get back to the story, Great Expectations. The main theme, or the main idea of Great Expectations, is that in life, developing one's character and morals is more important than accumulating wealth or improving one's status. Nowadays, in modern times, I kind of have a difficult time believing that people actually still believe this. I think most people think, no, forget about those morals, forget about your character, just make a ton of money and you're okay.
No, you're wrong, Tom. You hang out with the wrong people.
I'm hoping I'm wrong, but no. On TV, it seems like that's what everybody wants, but in any case, that's debatable.
No.
But the theme of this idea is that, yes, you want to develop your character and your morals. That's more important than gaining or amassing wealth or improving your status. So here we've got the word accumulate. To accumulate means you just bring things together. You collect things together in one place. Oftentimes I talk about snow accumulating on the ground, like sometimes I think maybe 2 years ago, I think there was one day when I saw snowflakes flying through the air in Taipei, of all places, but it did not accumulate on the ground. It basically melted as soon as it hit the ground. But if you accumulate, that means it kind of stays there and remains there in one place. So basically, it just means you want to get rich, have lots of money and lots of possessions, and also to improve your status to make other people know that you are important.
One of the things that we are really good at accumulating in Taiwan is water. When it rains, the rain will gather together or accumulate, and you'll get a big mess on the street, making your shoes get all wet as you're trying to walk through. Now, the next sentence says that the novel puts the Victorian class system under a microscope.Under a microscope is an actual phrase that we use, but let's look at microscope first. It's an instrument or a piece of equipment that we use in laboratories or scientists use that allows you to look through a lens, a glass lens, and it makes something really tiny look bigger. So if you put something under a microscope, you kind of focus your attention on it so that you're able to seeexactly what's going on because it highlights everything. So, if your life has been put under a microscope, you're probably being, chased around by the press, the paparazzi that like to follow celebrities and take pictures and harass them. The celebrities, you could say, their lives are being put under a microscope. They're being examined very closely instead of just being left alone.
That's right. And a similar device is a magnifying glass, which you hold in your hand, and it's usually round, and you use it to look at things more closely. But as Stephanie said, a microscope is used in the laboratory. It lets you see much closer, so they're kind of examining the Victorian society, and especially its class system, the different classes of people that there were in Victorian England. Now, during the course of the book, or during the book, as the book continues, Pip interacts with people from all different classes, including criminals, peasants, members of the middle class, and the ultra rich. So these are different classes here. Criminals, people who have committed crimes and who have gotten out of prison or whatever. They're still considered criminals. We've got peasants, which is a word we don't really use so much anymore. A peasant is usually somebody who works on a farm and they're very poor. Like I said, we don't really use this word so much. It was used more in the past. But in that time in England, there were lots of poor farmers, so we called them peasants. You could also use that word to describe somebody whom you think is kind of uncultured. If they come from the country, for example, you could call them a peasant, because I'm from the country myself and have come across people from the cities who think they're so sophisticated. They would say, hey, get out of here, you peasant. They would say that to me in a joking way, of course. But
I think I want to add something to that.
Oh,
peasants,
please.
Weren't just farmers. They were farming the land of the people who owned the land. Peasants owned nothing. So back then, peasants were people who were farming the land. They were working on the land, but they did not own it. This book also takes a look at members of the middle class and the ultra rich. Ultra is a part of a word. It's an adjective. Ultra just means it go beyond what's usual or ordinary. It's extreme or excessive. I could say, oh, this cake is ultra sweet or ultra rich. Rich not being money, but very a lot of flavor. So you could also be ultra bored. Oh, I'm so bored. So ultra is just a way to say it's extreme. So they were very, very rich. Moving on to the next paragraph, it says at the start of the novel, Pip is a young man who has very little in life. So he doesn't have a lot, but he's filled with ambition. A lot of kids may have been born into, you know, rather poor circumstances, but boy, they have dreams. They want to work hard and become successful, and they won't let anything stop them. That's kind of how Pip is. He has a lot of ambition. He doesn't care that he currently has nothing. He wants to become successful.
He does. He has lots of ambition, or he is very ambitious. And, of course, you need to be aggressive to get the things that you want in life. So he wants to become educated and learn the manners of gentlemen. so he can join their ranks. So again, he wants to become educated, or as we said earlier, he wants to be schooled in the ways of gentlemen. Gentlemen here, of course, are, you know, classy men. They're not brutes and savages with big muscles.
They have excellent manners.
Excellent manners. They hold the door open for ladies.
They're great.
They hold wine glasses the proper way. They smoke the proper cigars. They wear the best Italian suits and stuff like that. And yes, he wants to be like them. He wants to join their ranks. Rank is just your level or your class. So to join someone's rank means to join that particular group of people, to join that ranking in society.
Yeah, sometimes we use it casually. You know, if you just got a job at a tech company, you could say, I've joined the ranks of the tech community. Maybe you were fighting against working for a technology company and you finally gave in. Yeah, I've joined the ranks. I've joined the ranks of people who are going to the gym because, you know, after a while, you need some more help. So I'm getting a trainer. Join the ranks of those needing a trainer. So he joined their ranks and learned how to be more of a gentleman by learning all of the manners. They had really specific rules and ways to conduct yourself or to act back then. In other words, it says, he has great expectations for his future. I've noticed in Taiwan, sometimes I hear people say, yeah, I have a lot of expectation for my kids. No, expectations in that way, thinking for the future that you hope your kids one day become a certain level of student or they have a great career, you have great expectations for them. You have high expectations. Never use the singular on that, guys. It's plural always. I have high expectations. Even if your only dream is to become a singer, I have high expectations that I'll be successful. Remember that one. So he has great expectations for his own future.
That's right. He certainly has those expectations, and we'll continue to talk about this great subject in just a couple of seconds. But right now, we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 16文学单元的第三天课程。今天的文章介绍 Great Expectations 这本小说所要探讨的主题。我们看到第一段的第一句。The main theme of Great Expectations is that in life, developing one's character and morals is more important than accumulating wealth or improving one's status. 远大前程的主题是在人生中培养一个人的个性和品性，比累积财富或提高一个人的社会地位来得重要。名词 expectation 是期待、预期的意思，动词为 expect。E-X-P-E-C-T 和 expectation 常搭配使用的片语有 live up to 或 meet somebody's expectations 符合某人的期望 The dishes we ate at that restaurant didn't live up to our expectations 我们在那家餐厅所吃的菜肴不符合我们的期待 Exceed 或 surpass somebody's expectations 比某人所预期的好 ExceedExceed Surpass Surpass 例如 We didn't expect Joe to do well in the competition, but his performance ended up exceeding our expectations.
我们没有预期乔会在这场比赛中表现良好，但他的表现最后比我们预期的好。
Have high 或 low expectations of somebody 对某人期望很高或对某人期望不高。The coach has high expectations of his team, believing it will win the championship.
这位教练对他的团队期待很高，相信他的团队会赢得冠军。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about the themes and ideas that are running through the novel Great Expectations. A lot of it is about the class system and what the Victorian class system was like. examining it very closely. And he also has Pip interact with a lot of different ranks or social classes in this book, including people who have committed crimes, the criminals, peasants, poor farmers, members of the middle class, and then the very, very rich, the ultra rich. So we find out that Pip, as a young man, doesn't have a whole lot. But boy, does he have great expectations. He wants to be successful. He wants to, you know, gain that wonderful education that gentlemen all have. All gentlemen were very well educated back then. And he wanted to become one of them. He wanted to join their ranks. So when Pip finally acquires money and becomes a gentleman, however, he doesn't feel satisfied at all. Well, surprise, surprise, money isn't everything, and moving in a higher social class isn't necessarily going to bring you happiness and joy and fulfillment. Now, if you acquire something, you obtain it, you get it. You can acquire a language skill by studying hard, working at it, practicing. You can acquire wealth if someone who passes away decides to leave their money to you and you inherit it. Inheriting money is a pretty good way to go. But he acquires money and becomes a gentleman.
Indeed. If you're a banker, of course, and somebody fails to pay back their loan, you can acquire their mortgage. You can get their mortgage and kick them out and sell the house or something like that. But here, Pip, remember, this is the character in the novel Great Expectations. He finally gets money. He acquires money. He gets to be rich. And then he becomes a gentleman. He was schooled in the ways of gentlemen. However, he doesn't feel satisfied at all. Something is missing. And he learns that many members of the upper class live sad and unfulfilled lives. Is that true? I don't know. I'm not a rich person myself, and I'm never going to be. Mm-hmm. But, I guess they say that, people who are rich have a lot of money, but they oftentimes have sad lives, and they're unfulfilled. Again, I don't know how true that is, but if something is unfulfilled, that means something is missing. You maybe want more out of life than just having a bunch of money. Maybe you think, gee, all these people like me. I have all these friends just because I have money. Would they really want to be my friend if I didn't have all that money, or would they just let me go outside and live under a bridge somewhere or something like that? So, yes, he thinks that, something's missing in life. I've got the money. I'm a gentleman and stuff like that. I smoke the best Cuban cigars. But my life is still missing something. It's still unfulfilled.
He eventually comes to realize or to understand that the true value of a person's worth is based on how they treat others rather than on how much money they have in the bank. That's an important lesson to learn, but a lot of people with money, especially if they're born into it, they don't know how to treat people, especially those that they feel are below them. They're too dismissive of others. I've seen that happen to a lot of celebrities, too. Once they become very famous, they don't want to interact with people they feel that are below them or not in their social class. So he realizes that feeling fulfilled is going to be based on how he treats people around him, whether they're rich or very poor. He needs to treat everyone he comes into contact with very, very well and respectfully and with compassion.
With compassion, indeed. Now, Great Expectations here in the next paragraph is also dealing with ideas about crime, guilt, and innocence. So it deals with these ideas, it talks about them, and offers some ideas about these things. And these concepts include crime, which, of course, is when people do things they're not supposed to do. They steal things, they rob from people, etc., etc. We've also got guilt here. Guilt is the sense that you regret something that you have done and you wish you could have done something else. You might feel guilt, for example, if you cheat on your boyfriend or on your girlfriend or something like that. You would feel guilt, or you would feel guilty. That's the adjective. Gee, I feel so guilty for doing that. I shouldn't have kicked that dog like that. It was so cruel. I feel so guilty. And also innocence here. Innocence usually means, no, you're not the person who committed the crime. I'm innocent. Innocence is the state of innocence, of being innocent. But sometimes we talk about the loss of innocence when you realize that the world is full of cruel people and mean people. And oftentimes we talk about the loss of innocence, which usually refers to children as they grow up. Of course, as when we're children, children, of course, life is wonderful. We get to eat candy. We get to play games with people. But as we get older, we find out that people are backstabbing each other all the time. They're cruel. They're mean. And we're betrayed by our best friend. How can my best friend go out with my boyfriend? Boy. And then you get bitter and cynical. Well, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Who knows? But that's all about the loss of innocence. I think that's probably what they're talking about here.
The story opens with Pip meeting the criminal Magwitch in a cemetery. We'll often use this phrase, the story opens with, or the film opens with. That's how it starts. So you can say the story starts with Pip meeting the criminal Magwitch in a cemetery. Remember, he's a runaway convict, and he's got chains on him. They would chain, they still do today, don't they? They chain people's ankles together, and their hands are chained as well. At first, Pip wants nothing to do with him. He's probably scared of him. He looks scary in the films I've seen because he's been labeled a menace to society. You don't see this word very much anymore. Tom and I grew up with a cartoon. I think it was a cartoon show. Maybe it was a real show, TV show called Dennis the Menace. And it was a little boy who was a brat to everybody, caused lots of trouble. That's what a menace. But you'll see this phrase menace to society quite a bit. If you're a menace to society, you're causing trouble for society generally. Tom, were you a menace when you were growing up?
Not really. I don't think I was. Maybe I was from time to time, but not usually. But, of course, he's labeled a menace. People think that he's bad news. He's somebody you want to stay away from. He's trouble. He causes trouble, etc. And he's a menace to society. And even after he discovers that Magwitch is his benefactor, he's reluctant to assist Magwitch because he fears the police. So, yes, Magwitch was returning the favor. Pip was kind to him in the cemetery at the beginning of the novel, and Magwitch becomes his benefactor as a result. Pip discovers that he finds out that Magwitch has been giving him all this money, but he's still reluctant to help him. Yes, I know he did this nice thing for me. But still, he's a criminal. He's wanted by the police. I don't really want to help him, you know. I want to express my gratitude, but still, he's a criminal. I might get in trouble. So he's reluctant. If you're reluctant to do something, you're just not sure you want to do it, especially if it's something that you should do. You're basically unwilling and you're hesitant about doing something.
Yeah, you might eventually decide to do it, but it's not something you're excited about. You'd rather not do it. So as he comes to get to know Magwitch better, though, he changes his feelings and opinion about the guy and decides to help him escape. This is back when they're still in the cemetery. So, you know, the longer he talks to him, he thinks, oh, okay, you know, maybe he's not such a bad guy after all. This symbolizes that Pip is now able to form his own opinions about people. Remember, Magwitch had been labeled a menace to society by people.By the police, by other grown-ups. And so he kind of just listened to what they thought about Magwitch. This is true of all of us, though. I'll often have friends will say, oh, I don't like Sheila, or I don't like John. And, you know, I'll think, okay, you know, but I want to give those people a chance with me. It might be true that I don't come not to like them either or not trust them, but everybody has different opinions, and you need to form or make your own opinions based on your own experiences with people and not what gossip about that person says. So this symbolizes or represents that Pip is able to form his own opinions. He doesn't have to listen to the government's opinion or even what society tells him is right and wrong. To symbolize something means to stand for something or to represent something. We use the example that a red rose represents true love and a dove represents peace. Those are two very popular examples of symbolizing or symbols of something.
Indeed. So he forms his own opinions about people and does not rely on what the government and society tells him. So that's probably a lesson for us all. It's worth reading this book. Check it out. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
文章的第二段提到 Pip 的出身卑微，却有远大的抱负，想要受教育成为一名绅士。 我们看到第二段的第四句 When Pip finally acquires money and becomes a gentleman, however, he doesn't feel satisfied at all. 然而在皮普终于得到钱成为一名士绅的时候他却一点也不满足。动词 acquire 有获得、取得、习得的意思，可以用来表示获得某物或是学到某种知识或技巧。例如 Paul went to university in Taiwan to acquire a good knowledge of Chinese. 保罗到台湾就读大学以学好中文知识。另外有两个动词的拼法和 acquire 类似，要小心别混淆。第一个动词是 require, R-E-Q-U-I-R-E, 需要、要求的意思。require 后面可以接 V-I-N-G, 有需要被做什么的意思。例如 The door of our house requires repairing. 我们房子的门需要修理。require 后面如果接 that 名词子句的话 that 名词子句里要用 should 加原形动词 should 可以省略。例如 The teacher required that all his students hand in their report on time. 老师要求所有学生准时交报告。另一个类似的动词是 inquire, I-N-Q-U-I-R-E, 询问、调查的意思。Inquire about something 就是指询问某事。例如 Karen called the airline to inquire about her flight reservation. 凯伦打电话给航空公司询问她的班机定位。我们接着看到第二段的最后一句。He eventually comes to realize that the true value of a person's worth is based on how they treat others, rather than how much money they have in the bank.最终他了解原来一个人的真实价值是在于如何对待他人而非他们在银行有多少钱。名词 worth 是价值的意思。这个字也可以做形容词用后面接名词或 ving 表示有什么的价值或值得。例如 The tourist attraction is definitely worth a visit. 这个观光景点的确值得一游。The novel is so good that it's worth reading again after a couple of years. 这本小说太好看了，几年后值得再读一遍。文章的最后一段提到 Pip 后来知道 Magwitch 是他的赞助人，一开始还是不愿意帮助 Magwitch 逃脱警方的追缉，但经过和 Magwitch 相处后，决定协助他脱逃。我们看到最后一段的第四句。Even after he discovers that Magwitch is his benefactor, he's reluctant to assist Magwitch because he fears the police. 甚至就算在他发现马格维奇是他的捐助者之后，因为害怕警察，他还是不愿意帮助马格维奇。动词 assist 是协助的意思，要表示协助某人做某事，我们可以说 assist somebody to 加原形动词。例如The nurse assisted her patient to eat and do other simple tasks. 这位护士协助她的病人进食以及进行其他简单的工作。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That's it for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.